So I'm going to talk to you today about Luke's accounts in Acts and in the Gospel of Luke, obviously written by the same writer, of Jesus' ascension. So I think last week I was at an ordination. It was great. It was two people that I knew relatively well who were being ordained. And my job was to vest one of them. So my name was in the bulletin and my claim to fame. And afterwards, I was in the narthex of this church, and this young woman comes up to me, and she'd seen my name in the bulletin, and she comes up to me and goes, "Is this who you are?" And I'm going, "Yeah, this is me." And she said to me, "I just want to let you know that you're the reason I'm an Anglican today. This isn't a story about how persuasive my speech are and how magnetic my personality has got nothing to do with that. It's just," she said this, and she said, "the reason is because of something you said at my father's funeral," which was eight years ago. And then she said who she was and who her father was. And I'm going, "Yeah, that's," and she said, "something happened." She said, "During the course of the funeral, something happened. You said something, and obviously the Holy Spirit took these words, as good or as, you know, inadequate as they were, and used them to speak to her." And I said to her, "You know, it's kind of a funny thing. You should come up to me. I mean, it's fantastic. Thank you so much. It's good to see you. And wow, that's wonderful. Thank you for telling me about that." I said, it's kind of a funny thing that you came up to me today, that we met today in this way. We've been seeing each other for 8 years. Because I've been thinking about your father a lot lately. And I've been thinking a lot about his widow. His first wife had died, I don't know, about six or seven years ago. Sorry, it would have been longer than that ago. It would have been about, that's the wrong order. It would have been about 10 or 12 years ago. And then he'd remarried this really wonderful woman from Arizona. And I just remember they'd moved down to Arizona for a while and they come back again. But anyway, I just remember the expression. I kept thinking about the expression on her face at the funeral, which is, "I can't believe this is all the time we had." It's kind of the expression on her face. And I've been thinking about her and I'm going, "I wonder whatever happened to her. I had no contact with her. She's down in Arizona and she looks so devastated." And for some reason, it's been on my mind, like, whatever happened to her? And, so I said to her, "Well, how's your stepmother?" And she goes, "Yeah, she's okay." And she says, "We're all okay." And so I go, "Well, thank you very much. My question has been answered, apparently." Now you could look at that and you could say, "Well, you know, coincidences happen, right? I've been thinking about this, it's been on my mind, and then out of the blue, this woman comes up to speak to me. We haven't seen it in 8 years." Well, coincidence has happened. Well, that's true. Or priests have a tendency to over-spiritualize things, which may or may not be true. Or human beings have a tendency to look for patterns where there aren't any, because we just have, human beings are made to make sense of things. So we look for patterns to create meaning. Well, that could also be true, but I think it could also be something else. What if it was something else? The reason I think of this is today we have this story of Jesus' ascension into heaven. And you could look at that and you could say, well, Jesus is in the spiritual world now, and we're in the physical world. And so there's certainly a distance between the two of us. So the best we can do is, as I was saying to somebody this week, kind of, you know, shoot peas at the moon, I think is the expression, you know, just try and throw things up there and hope something catches, right? And that we get some kind of response, because there certainly is, again, there's that image, it would seem, of separation. Yeah, but what we do know from reading, which kind of, in a sense, kind of leaves us, well, I mean, we know he's with us, but we also are kind of on our own to figure things out a little bit. What we do know is, in fact, that Luke is talking about two realms. He's talking about the realm into which Jesus, with his physical body, has departed the spiritual world into which he now dwells. And there's the realm in which we dwell. That is very true. And that he's king in that world. And here we are, we're still kind of struggling along. Undeniable that Luke is saying that. We also know that Luke is using an image. Well, the Lord uses an image to talk to the apostles. He shows them this whatever Jesus' ascension in this particular way, which is ascending. But we also know that he could have revealed it to the Lord is trying to communicate in different ways. He could have had him, I suppose, beneath us, you know, showing that he's holding up everything. He could have had him beside us, showing that he's with us, but almost separated by a kind of membrane. We do know that although he's separated from us in a sense, I kind of keep thinking of Charles de Gaulle. Remember Charles de Gaulle? So a difficult person, I know, but Charles de Gaulle declared himself basically the president of France during the Second World War. And he was over in England, but he had an army. He had the Free French fighting in France, kind of an underground network of resistance. And you could say, this isn't quite true, but you could say maybe the resistance was in the process of beginning to kind of take over. They had this network in France, or the running thing. They were starting to run things, kind of gradually taking over. And when de Gaulle came over, they fully took over. So we could say that the Lord has, although he's ascended, he has kind of a network among us. He's got this kind of kingdom, these kind of relationships set up under the surface. And that when he fully appears, the word is appearance, when he fully appears, these two worlds will be fully present to one another, and they will see each other and will be united together. In the meantime, though, Luke's image is not that Jesus is far away. Luke's image is that, in fact, Jesus is king, and he's very close. Like I said, it's almost like we're separated by a membrane, and that he breaks through into our realm in all kinds of unexpected ways, countless ways, every day. Although we don't see him marching into our Paris, so to speak, he's still under the surface, creating these networks amongst us in all kinds of unexpected ways. In the Eucharist, as we know, where he becomes physically present to us, in his words spoken to us in the Bible, and we pray, and even maybe in these strange acts of providence, which we can't quite understand, and which partly we want to believe in, and partly we maybe want to explain away sometimes. That's what I think I experienced the other day. This reality of the ascension where heaven and earth join themselves to each other, and you kind of see the tip of the iceberg a little bit. So we could put it, I could put it this way. As Archbishop William Temple put it, the more we pray, the more coincidences happen. So it could say, well, you know, yes, it could be. You're foolish to see patterns where they're not there. You're foolish to believe every coincidence is directly from God. But I am also foolish not to accept something when it just shows up right in your face, which is what that experience was for me. It's no accident that this question began to appear that troubled me. It's no accident that the Lord decided to say to me, oh, by the way, I am at work, whether you know it or not. Again, as Archbishop William Temple said, the more we pray, the more coincidences happen. So we may look at the world understandably, especially in the last couple of weeks, and go, there is chaos at loose in the world. We can also say the Lord reveals to us that there is a network of relationships in which the Lord is demonstrating that he is control and is in the process of taking over and reclaiming what it is. And once in a while, he shows us that very clearly. So one of the things we could do, it's a little practice, a lot of us do, and that is just at the end of the day, especially if we are in the habit of doom scrolling. Any doom scrollers here? None? No. Oh, you want to make your confession privately. Okay, that's fine. Some of us doom scroll. You know, you get on your phone, you go, here's some more bad news. Yeah, I better read some more. That wasn't bad enough. You know, read some more. And there are horrible things going on. It's true. But especially if we get into that state, we're going, oh, man, everything is chaos. Everything is evil. At the end of the day, instead, we could say, Lord, show me how you were present with me today. And you might say, under the surface, there's stuff happening that you're not even aware of. So be ready to be surprised. Amen.